Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about how to become free souls under God. How to be freeing ourselves from the bondage of the world, the flesh, and the devil. One of the ways to do that is understand how you became into bondage. So I wrote a book, Covenants of the Gods, and people think that's all about law. No, it's about a bridge of understanding between law and spirit. The law is spiritual. The reason you're in bondage is because you disobeyed the spiritual law. You coveted your neighbor's goods. You were slothful. God is not slothful. The angels, one of the things when I talk about heaven versus heaven in there, I'm expressing the fact that angels are busy. The ministers of God, the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, are busy. They're industrious by nature. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is an energy that flows, and therefore there must be activity. It has to move. Stagnant is the result of being still. There is no stagnant water in the kingdom of God. It's not necessarily rapids of emotion and excitement. It's the still waters. He leadeth me by the still waters. They're not completely still, but they're moving slowly. But they're moving. They're in motion. Not the stagnant waters. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. What is he talking about? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things with spiritual things. He's telling you something here. And see, most of the preachers, they're going to teach you with their wisdom because they got a degree at a theological university. That's not the way it works. There's another little clue. The fact is everybody, all these teachers, all these intellectual-minded people that have created religions, created theological eschatologies, there is some spirit in them. And sometimes the Holy Spirit lists in them. And they do make repenting choices from time to time. And they may not be too far from the kingdom of heaven even. But you have to remember, we're all seeking it. We're all far enough away that we're not in it. And what I'm trying to talk to you about is the things that are keeping you from it. Because you are in bondage because you have not walked the spiritual path that Christ has laid out for you. Flesh and blood is not going to reveal it to you. Studying is not going to reveal it to you. I'm not saying don't study. I'm just saying that you need to know that your egotistical personal brain is not going to figure this out. You're not going to be able to teach other people the truth. It's not going to happen. You can allude to it. You can talk about it. But the Spirit listeth where it will. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Ever so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, and this is what he's talking in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, not the spirit of the world. Now, what's he talking about here? Not the spirit of the world. What word did he use there when he said world? He used constitutional order and system of government. Now, these people were living in the world. Many of the Christians were a part of the world. Of course, you have to remember what that meant. I mean, but those who began to look towards Christ began to look towards a network that was based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. And that process was their process of repentance. There were problems in all these churches because that's why all the epistles were written. He's saying, oh, there's a problem here, there's a problem here, problem here, problem here. So there's and the reason there's a problem in these churches is because there's a problem in people. They got blockage. They got trauma. They got things that they cannot seem to get out of their heart. And those things have created walls that stops the flow to the next level. You must always be flowing to the next level. If you stop, you will actually digress. What you knew, you will begin to forget. Because it isn't your brain that's saving you. It's the Holy Spirit that's saving you, that's guiding you, that's giving you the light. If you shut that light off, everything gets dark again. And you begin to lose track, lose sight of the truth. And you begin to do stupid things. Make big mistakes. Eventually you're gonna die. And you're gonna die on the wrong side of the wall. Because you would not progress. You were full of pride. I mean, religions that, you know, that make you full of pride, before you know it, you'll be killing people and cutting heads off and thinking that you can impose your religion on everybody else, because that's a religion of pride. It's a religion of selfishness. It's not a religion of sacrifice. And you can turn the Muslim religion into that kind of religion. You can certainly do that with them. But you can also do that with Christianity, or what is posing as Christianity. Because without the Holy Spirit, the tree of knowledge is going to get you into a lot of trouble. You're going to have very, you know, educated men espousing all kinds of ideas that are going to actually lead you down a dark path of destruction, because they're not walking in the Holy Spirit. And so again, how do we start walking in that Holy Spirit? He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And that's these abilities to perform these miracles. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He may be real smart, but he is operating from the natural man. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And he's trying to discern everything intellectually with his mind, going through complex explanations. And of course, now you got me doing that. Of course, I'm on the radio. That's why we're offering to those who want to become ministers to come out and walk in our shadow, walk in our footsteps, walk with us. We think we have something to offer, but we're telling you, don't come if God is not leading you to come. Because you may die. Literally, you may die. But anyway, he goes on and says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now that's Paul talking. Now, guys can read that, and it may not be so. Because they are not really the brethren of Christ. They're the brethren of Satan. And we have, you know, what was it? James was saying the synagogue of Satan. They say they are Jews, but they are not. Of course, now he didn't call himself necessarily a Christian because that term wasn't used yet. That was used first in Antioch. James was still in Jerusalem. He was working daily in the temple. He was the head of the church. He wasn't ruler, but he was the head of the church. And the church was functioning in the temple in Jerusalem. But it didn't need the temple because it didn't need a big storehouse treasury. But it had property. It had funds. Because they had taken over the position of the Levites. That's why you had people like Barnabas coming to Jerusalem, who was a Levite, selling his land because he owned land, because the Hasmoneans said Levites could own land in their personal name. So he sold that land, and then he came with the money, and he laid it at the foot of the apostles. And he became Barnabas. He was Hoses before, and then he became Barnabas. And then he was almost immediately sent with a bunch of money, with Paul, as a part of a FEMA project, a FEMA Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary of the church, to help out people who were in need in another place. This was a job. They were a government. They just were a government not like the governments of the Gentiles. They operated with a different spirit. And we call that Holy Spirit. Not with a different intellectual approach, but a different spirit. And that spirit would lead you to do certain things, like if you had a problem with your neighbor doing something, you would take that problem to him directly and work that out. And if he was a part of what you were doing, the church or whatever, you would work it out with him. If he didn't want to work it out, you'd bring two witnesses, bring another and then another until he repented. And if he would not repent and he continued in what he was doing, you would have to do nothing with him. If he continued to backbite, if he did not want past that wall, you have to let him go for his own good. You cannot let him stay with you because he's going to be hurting all the young and new people that come along. Paul's very clear about this. You have to let him go. But he's not trying to create a statutory step-by-step plan. He's showing you the Spirit. He's talking in words to show you the Spirit that God would operate on. Because you don't love one person more than another. I always tell people, you only love the person you don't love the anybody more than the person you love the least. I couldn't even remember what I always say. You don't love anybody more than the person you love the least. You may like, you may lust, you may have an emotional attachment to all kinds of people, more than this person and more than that person, but that's not love. That's not the love that heals. That's not the love that raises the dead. That's an emotional, fleshly love. The love that you want is the love that Christ had, that he could love and forgive you. What is one of the major blockages that constipates the soul? And of course, we could put it in terms like pride and vanity and envy and all those kinds of things, the seven deadly sins. But there's another way to put it. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Mark 11:26. Wow. You thought all you had to do is believe in Jesus. No. That isn't all you have to do. We have a page at Preparing You that is about forgiving, and there's a picture on it. It's a woman sitting on a post out in front of what appears to be a lake or the ocean or something. And you just see her from the back. And it was something put up by the woman's working.com. And it says, forgiving is easy, but forgetting the lies and pain they caused, now that's hard to get over. It's only hard to get over because you never really forgave. Forgiving is the end of conflict. Forgiving sets you free. You know why it does? because the demons of your unforgiveness that is causing you pain, you know, inside you, are released when you forgive. Their strings are cut. They have no more power over you. If you got pain welling up in you, anger welling up in you, impatience welling up in you, judgment welling up in you, that's coming from the demons in your temple. You know, and I'm not saying that there's always a bunch of demons inside you, but they leave little, like place markers, little bookmarks in you. You know, like everybody's had some trauma, and it's probably associated with an image, a word, or something like that. And if you mention that word, all of a sudden they twinge. You know, a little twitch shows up. You know, I mean, they actually have movies where every time you mention somebody, what was it in? I can never remember the name of people or movies or anything, but a pure luck. This girl was going around, and supposedly she came to this village, and she had this terrible bad luck, the same as the other guy who was Martin Short was trying to help find her. And they came to the only survivor in this village, and he's in the hospital, and they showed her a picture of the girl to see if he had seen her. And when he showed in the picture, the guy's like, ah! You know, he jumps. And he showed him the picture again, and he jumped again. And then, you know, about the third time he did it, it was like he was just seeing. Every time you show him, this guy jumps. And it's humorous. And the reason it's humorous is because it's true. That you have these little place markers inside that little tree of knowledge of yours. And if somebody touches that place marker, that button, we call it, somebody pushes that button, suddenly you get upset. You know, I was at a house with a bunch of guys who loved to come out and go shooting. I think they had 15 guys there. And they all were shooting that day, and then I was there fixing something for them. And they were saying how they all love shooting. There were a couple of guys on the porch there talking to me, and I says, well, have fun practicing shooting before Obama takes your guns away. And I don't know why I said it. I just, something led me to say it. And they go like, oh, don't mention Obama. And he points inside the building. And he says, in there. And because, you know, they are all anti that particular individual because they think they're going to try to take their guns away. But the point is you just mention the name. And they know. You just mention it. It upsets them. Well, it could be the same way. I mean, we go mention George Bush to Democrats, and that upsets them. But that's all over in the tree of knowledge. Neither one of those men, Obama or Bush, are your salvation. Trump or Cruz or Hillary or I don't even know who all is running. Shows you how closely I watch that government. That is not your salvation. They are not the ones that put you in bondage. They are not the ones that are going to destroy you. They may be instrumental in your destruction, but what's destroying you is the fact that you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a bubble of protection. I have, you know, I've told the stories. I hate to even tell these stories and everything, but you could be surrounded by people who want to kill you. Absolutely surrounded by people who not only want to kill you, are quite capable of doing it. Should be instilling all kinds of fear in you and anxiety in you. But you're in a bubble. And they can't not even enter that bubble. Because the Holy Spirit is walking with you. Whole world around you can be going to pieces. Killing, murder, mayhem. You know. And you think, if I get to my cabin in the woods where I got all my survival stuff, then I will be saved. No. No, you will not be saved. What saves you is to repent and turn around and go back the other way that from what you came. What brought you into bondage again? Unforgiveness, pride, vanity, sloth, covetousness. Covetousness is just putting yourself before your neighbor. It's loving yourself more than you love your neighbor. You want your stuff. You want your benefits. You want your free education. You want your health care more than you care about your neighbor. You are absolutely ready to push the red button. But then somebody else is going to be able to push a red button and kill you. You know, the old story, you push this button, someone somewhere you absolutely don't know dies and you get $1 billion. And finally you push the button and a guy shows up, gives you $1 billion and takes the box away with the red button. He says, well, who are you giving that to? What are you doing that? He says, I'm going to give it to somebody else. You absolutely doesn't know, you don't know and doesn't know you. And when he pushes the button, you die. And he gets your $1 billion. So, anyway, that's the story for those of you who haven't heard it. That's what we do every day. And you do that every day because you don't have faith. And because you don't have faith, Holy Spirit cannot come into you. Cannot bless you. And the Holy Spirit cannot come into you because you will not forgive. Forgiving is a spiritual enema. Letting go. The pain is gone if you really forgive. But here this woman in the outfit is saying forgiving is easy. But forgetting the lies and the pain they caused. Now that's hard. That's because you haven't forgiven. That is really important to understand. People, when they first find out they've been in bondage and brought into bondage in the world, they think, oh, you know, they're all upset and they hate the government and they hate... You know, they're blaming this guy and that guy and FDR and everybody for their particular situation. The Illuminati, you know, it's all the Illuminati's fault. It's the Freemasons' fault. You know, I mean, there's a whole long list of people to blame. But the fact is, you know who's at the top? Actually, there's only one person you have to blame. You. Because if you repent, you really start repenting. You will start being set free. And even the burdens you have will become light in this life. And if you're still feeling pain, it's because you really haven't forgiven. You haven't really let the Holy Spirit in. You're doing it on your own. You think you can save yourself. You know, like the guy who thought, well, you know, if I give them all this money, I will set them free. No, you won't. You will put them more in bondage. The greatest destroyers of liberty are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. Now, that's compounded when you give them by taking away from somebody else. But if someone were to give funds to Christ and you took those funds away to give gifts, gratuities, and benefits to make men rich, thinking that that's going to free them. No, it's not. You know, we were joking around with somebody who was here the other day. I said, and these people aren't a part of the church, but I'm trying to help them see some of their problems. I was bringing them up, and I said, because, you know, if you do this again, I'm going to have to get out my dope slap stick. You know, we kept making reference to the dope slap because you're being a dope. And I'm telling him he's being a dope, but we're doing it, we're laughing and joking about it, so he's receiving it. And he realizes that we've kind of been a dope. I'm going to actually go and check on them and find out if they're still being dopes. Because they got themselves in a real fix because they weren't attending to what they needed to be attending to. And I said, yeah, I need to do that. I need to get like a, you know, some sort of a little stick, you know, made out of rubber foam with a big rubber foam glove on it, put on it, dope slap, and take it out and slap people. Guys, like, now stop being stupid. Stop being dopey. Stop being foolish. If you think you're going to be saved because somebody gives you a lot of money, you're not. It's going to bring huge curses with it. Now, God may give you a lot of money, And but with that was going to come a lot of temptations. You know, there's nothing wrong with a lot of money. You know, like Tevye says, you know, there's no great, there's no shame in being poor, but there's no great honor either. Would it destroy some vast eternal plan if I were a wealthy man? It might destroy you. And so God's probably not going to give you wealth until it won't destroy you. Satan will give you wealth because he wants you destroyed. He wants that temptation to come. I mean, what is wealth? Wealth is power. Saul was given power. Destroyed him. It wasn't a blessing. It was a curse. The people cursed Saul by giving him power. I have nothing but sympathy for people like Obama. You know, because you give him so much power. How could he withstand being corrupted? You know, of course he's going to be corrupt. Why did you give him so much power? Well, I didn't give it to him, I gave it to Bush, and then he passed it on down to him. You've been giving it to president. Every president has gotten more and more power from the people. How did they do that? You're sloth. You're not doing it yourself. You're not taking care of business. Why aren't you doing it yourself? Because you're not coming together. I mean, how many friends do you have? Do you have very many friends? Why don't you have more friends? Why don't you have people that want to help you? Do whatever it is you need to do. Is it because you're not really helping other people? You're all caught up in yourself? You know, now other people might not help you, but ultimately, and I don't want to get, that's kind of over in the tree of knowledge. You need to awaken the Holy Spirit in you. You need to make room in your heart and in your mind and in your soul for the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about how to do that when we come back. Welcome back. We're talking about being spiritually constipated because the Spirit has to flow through you. It's a constant energy force, and it's coming from another realm, and our access to it is what we call the tree of life. It comes to us. Christ is going to send us the Comforter. That Holy Spirit is not an emotional charge or excitement. Doesn't, like I say, come with its own band. It doesn't have bright lights that shine on you. Although it can manifest itself in physical form. You know, I mean, actually, I mean, I'm not going to tell you here on the radio. I will tell people in person occasionally, but I'm not going to tell you, although I probably have mentioned it somewhere. Some of those forms. But we see in the Bible how just being near one of the apostles could heal you. Just touching the garments of Christ could heal you. There was no magical power in the garment. The reason they were healed was because they would receive an actual energy that flowed through Christ to them. He didn't have to actually touch him. The servant of the Roman, he was way off. He says, I know you can heal him from here. You don't even have to go to the house. You don't have to touch him. I know that. He says, wow, that's a lot of faith, Christ says. I haven't seen faith like that in anybody. The woman thought, oh, all I had to do is touch. And that, then her the faith, because that's the parameter she created in her mind. But what allowed it to happen was that she was willing to receive the light that comes with the virtue, the power of Christ's love. She was willing to see the truth about herself. That's why they tell you she'd spend all her fortune and everything trying to, you know, solve this problem and everything like that. She realized this was a weakness. She was manipulated by doctors. I know somebody been manipulated by doctors. She may die because she's been, and the doctors sense this, and they actually just, they drain a person. And not all doctors do this, but the spirit that you'll find in hospitals will drain the life out of somebody. You don't realize the power you could have if you could walk in with the Holy Spirit. The truth is, you probably wouldn't have to go to the... I mean, you know, why would you go to a hospital if you had the Holy Spirit? Okay. Well, maybe God wants you to go to that hospital to bring the Holy Spirit in there. Maybe God, if you have the Holy Spirit and you're dragged into court, you know, before judges to be judged, do you think they have the power to do that? Do you know that you may be dragged into court not to be judged, but to bring judgment? That's why Christ was here. He didn't come to judge. He came to bring judgment. The Roman Empire was destroyed because of the Spirit of Christ. He didn't destroy them. They destroyed themselves. God didn't destroy Saul. Saul destroyed himself. This is the nature. This is how it works. But you're not on the side of the Holy Spirit if you're twitching and twinging and still full. You know, what is the definition of forgiveness? Now, forgiveness is just one part of it. But, I mean, there's, Jesus said to give and forgive. So there's two parts. There's actually more to this. I mean, there's lots of crooks and crannies in your temple that need to be cleaned out. One of the important ones is forgiveness. And why? Because forgiveness requires humility. You cannot do it without humility. You cannot forgive without humility. The word forgive, if you looked it up in a definition, it says, stop feeling angry, resentful towards someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake. That's just that's that fleshly knowledge definition. That's not really correct. Because it says, stop feeling angry. It reduced forgiveness to a feeling. Now, if you forgive, you will not feel angry, resentful towards somebody. You will not feel that. But you could also not feel that if you were all drugged up or drunk. You know, like, man, you're my buddy. I like you. You're just drugged. You know, and religion can do that. Praise the Lord. I love everybody. And we all get excited and everything. We just love and we're out dancing around with everybody, everything. And I don't feel angry at you anymore. You know, kind of like the Ghostbusters when they slime you. It's not real forgiveness. It's just an emotional high. So forgiveness is really letting go. You know, what is anger? What is judgment? It's a usurpation of God. You think you have to be angry because you think God's anger is not enough. You think God's judgment is not enough. You think you got to judge him. You got to rule over him. You got to pass judgment. And you'll say, oh, no, I don't want to judge you, but you're doing it all wrong. You know? I can't impart to you the knowledge of forgiveness with words. But I can tell you that if you're still feeling pain, you know, if when you remember the lies, you still feel pain, you still feel that twinge, you know, when you hear Illuminati or Freemason or government or corporations or any of these things, if you still feel that twinge, oh, there's something bad about that, oh, then the forgiveness is not complete yet. And if the forgiveness is not complete, you're still spiritually constipated. And if you're still spiritually constipated, you are not putting on the full armor of God. And you're going to come up to a wall and you're not going to be able to get past it. You're going to have an inordinate fear. You If you have the Holy Spirit, you can go into hell and you got a bubble around you of protection. You are absolutely in peace in hell. Everybody else in hell is scampering around trying to get out of your way. And that's what happens when you go into a court or go into an insane asylum. You know how you go to an insane asylum? You go outside. You go out into the world. The whole place is an insane asylum. But when you're walking with the Holy Spirit and you walk into the room, whether it's in a, you know, insane asylum or mental institution or prison, what do they throw you into prison? I mean, there's all kinds of crazy people in prison. Can you go into prison with the Holy Spirit? What will happen if you go into prison and you have the Holy Spirit? Are you going to walk, not knee-deep, but neck-deep in forgiveness? Are you going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit of Christ, which was, you know, a whole pool, a whole sea of forgiveness? The truth is, when you are walking with that Spirit, you will part the seas of iniquity wherever you go, in court and jail and in hospitals, because you will walk in the Holy Spirit. I mean, you literally could walk into a hospital and people would start being healed. You can walk into a bar and suddenly nobody's cussing anymore. Several people suddenly feel, I'm going home. There's no fun here anymore. And all you did is walk in, they haven't even seen you yet. But you came in with that Holy Spirit. And the demons that are in these people that are giving them their addictions and to alcohol or to drugs or to whatever. Yeah, there you go. Go into a heroin shoot-up gallery with the Holy Spirit. What do you think is going to happen? Now, I mean, I'm talking about metaphysical stuff here. But I'm actually just talking about spiritual power. You don't have it. You don't have the Holy Spirit. It's not like a genie in a bottle where you can carry it around with you. The only way it'll come into you is you got to forgive and you got to give. You got to lay down your life for others. You got to forgive others. You don't want people to look to you, to support you, to care about you. People always want to create this emotional relationship and they call it trust. Yeah, I trust you, man. I really love you, man. You know, because we got this relationship with one another. No. You're supposed to trust in the Lord. That's the real trust. And the Lord says, do this, do that, do this, do that. And other people say, oh, look, he's kind, he's generous, he's hardworking, he's all this stuff. I trust him. But is their trust coming from the Holy Spirit? Or is it just their emotion? Is it their head? Because that trust isn't going to last. Now, I'm not saying that that's bad to have those emotional connections. God has created this world and allow. I mean, babies do this. Mom caresses them and pets them and nurses them and they form an attachment. And if they don't get that, you'll actually have things like crib death. You know, crib death is a variety of things, but, you know, crib death a lot of times may be more connected to vaccines than anything else. But it can also, at times, it can be because they're not emotionally nurtured as a child. And they just don't feel the love. And they stop living. There's nothing keeping them there. There's nothing drawing them there. And birth is strange that way, though. The woman draws the child into life and nurtures it and, you know, tickles its cheek so it will nurse and its endorphins are released and it wants to nurse again and this is all pleasure. And you may spend your life trying to return to that pleasure, but the reality, and that is blockage in itself. It's not allowing you to get past that wall. of fleshly pleasure. But if you really, because there's lots of walls, but unforgiveness is one of the major bricks that builds the wall that keeps you to progressing to the next stage, where you can really see when you walk in with the Holy Spirit, and demons are affecting people. They've got their markers, their strings attached to those people, and are jerking their chain and bringing them back to their alcoholism or their drug addiction or whatever it is. And you walk in with the Holy Spirit, and that demon is either freezes or actually flees. Suddenly, that person doesn't feel. They don't need a smoke. They don't need a drug. They don't feel the pull towards these addictions in the world. They don't need to cuss and swear. You know, you'll actually sit with them for hours and they won't pick up the drink and drink it. They won't even know it. They don't feel guilty about it. They don't say, well, I didn't want to drink in front of you. They will. They would. But they just don't have the pull. The thing that draws them back to their addiction isn't there. Because it left the room when the Holy Spirit came in. Not when you came in. When the Holy Spirit came in, you are temples of the Holy Spirit. Inside you are many rooms, many mansions, many compartments, and they ain't all cleaned out yet. And what cleans them out, I mean, it's like you have to do a cleanse, a spiritual cleanse. And that spiritual cleanse consists of a lot of forgiveness, a lot of sacrifice. In Luke 5:23, it says, whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise up and walk. Well, it would seem like it would be easier to say, thy sins are forgiven thee. But it is actually easier to say, rise up and walk. But you can't say that. You can't say, rise up and walk, because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, because your sins aren't forgiven, because you haven't forgiven others. That's a sign. That's a clue. I'm not picking on you because of that. There's many things I have not forgiven. And I talked about that in the email. I mean, I couldn't even hardly say the word church. You know, when I was in the midst of the church that I was raised up in and training and all this stuff, I made choices that began to separate me because I kept asking these questions and not getting these answers, and I did not give up on asking the questions, and it began to separate me out. Some people saw it, and that was good. It had an effect on them. I didn't understand what was really going on, because it wasn't when I was doing righteousness. It wasn't me doing it. It was just the fact that I had not. It was by the grace of God that I was doing these things. I didn't even think about me doing it, making choices. I wasn't. And I was dealing with these men who were highly educated. And I was raising my hand and asking these questions. And I was waking up more and more. And I saw their answers. I knew their answers, but I also knew what the truth was. And I kept bringing it up. There were people who left. You know, all these high scholarly teachers who everybody looked up to, they actually left that religion. They abandoned it. Some of them actually went crazy. They had to lock them up. I had no idea why this was taking place. I was completely calm. It was the most relaxing. It was my last year of high school. I didn't even have to study. I mean, I just looked. I was so in the moment. It was ridiculous. But this is all due to the grace of God. It wasn't me. I had let go of a major part, and it had to do with vanity, personal vanity, trying to return to a state of personal vanity. When I was in fourth grade, suddenly I was answering questions. I was considered the wild, crazy, you know, guy. And then all of a sudden I'm answering questions and they were calling me Mr. Scientist. And I really wasn't that smart. But I happened to come on a clue as to where the answers were. And the teacher was asking, and I knew all the answers ahead of time. And I spent the next, how many ever years, you know, half a dozen years, trying to return to that vanity moment where everybody thinks you're smart. And I learned a lot, but, you know, with all the studying that I began to apply myself. But what I didn't learn is that vanity was killing me. It was killing the Holy Spirit in me. And when I let go of that, suddenly there was this surge where I was able to walk into these places. You know, I knew that the church I was attending and going to was not right. I knew that it was full of fraud and fake and all this stuff. I wasn't really upset by it. I was just aware of it. I wasn't dealing with any kind of resentment, and it made me walk through their realm. I knew I had to go through that and confront these one more time. So I went back to those schools and those teachers and confronted them, and it was amazing. But then afterwards, when I got out in the world, I would start to remember, you know, lies and deceptions and I could see how people were using people and manipulating people, and it made me angry. And that anger was judgment, and that judgment drew me into this dark side again. And I began to lose that spirit. The spirit wouldn't flow through me anymore. And finally, so I couldn't say the word church. I didn't like to kneel down. I believed in God, and I wanted to know what God's will was. I didn't have any problem with God, but it was all these things, all these people who were saying they were servants of God, ministers of God, this phony religion, which includes almost every religion out there. Now, I knew there were good men, but I also knew that these churches were full of bad men, evil men with evil heart, and I judged them, and I was angry with them, and I became spiritually constipated. And when I finally let go of that anger, and begin to the process of forgiving them, which is seeing the pain, remembering and not judging, dealing with the same problems again, but not being angry. Suddenly I could say church. I don't have any problem with saying church. I don't have a tick. You know, church, oh, church, oh, praise the Lord. That used to really bother me when people say praise the Lord. You know, because there were so many fake, phony users of people that are using that term. But you have to forgive them. And then it doesn't bother you anymore. It's irrelevant. You begin to walk. Now you can start walking in the Spirit. But there's always another layer of forgiveness, another set of traumas that have gotten inside you. And you have to take on that one. And when you stop, when you come to that wall that you don't want to forgive, you'll start backsliding. You'll start forgiving everything you knew, because what you knew, you didn't know because of the knowledge of men. You knew by the grace of God. And when you come to that wall where you need to forgive, you know, whether it's Democrats, Illuminati, the guy next door, your wife, your husband, your kids, whoever it is, you know, the guy that cut you off in traffic, and a string of expletives come out of your mouth, that's a little clue. Holy Spirit wasn't in there. Somebody else is in there, and they're pulling your strings, and they're manipulating you to think a particular way. So now what they give you, what they feed you on the screen of your mind becomes the truth. And it isn't the Holy Spirit. And you're headed for destruction. You're not headed for salvation. You will become judgmental. Now, you'll be able to put on a face. Oh, no, I love this. I'm kind of... I mean, we see all that phony stuff in churches all the time. And then we find out somebody's molesting children. And of course, that kind of faith needs all kinds of emotional support. So we will create relationships with people But they won't be based on the Holy Spirit. It will be based on selfishness, because this person makes you feel good. This person makes you feel welcome. They accept you as you are. But Jesus says, God says, as many as I love, I also rebuke. Because they will tell you who you really are. They will shine light on your iniquity. And if you will receive that light, you can receive the Holy Spirit. If you can't, you will not receive healing. You will die of cancer. You have to immerse yourself in forgiveness and giving. You cannot take on substitutes for the comforter of God, which are the comforters of your flesh, of the world, that will make you comfortable, that will create a situation where you will feel safe. What is it they say when they cry, you know, safe, peace and safety, then destruction will come? That goes for every one of us right now. Whoever is trying to give you peace and safety, the ones who rebuke you, those are the ones who love you. The ones who point out your flaws, your errors, who show you the wall that you will not go past. Those are the ones who are blessing you. They don't even think of it in those terms, though. They're just doing what comes to them by the nature of God that they desire to serve. I mean, we all say, you know, almost probably everybody, well, I can't say that, but a lot of people say, oh, they believe in God. They want to do God's will. They want to do what's right. But everybody has these walls, and they don't go beyond those walls. They don't want to see the truth about themselves. They want a church that makes them feel good. Now, I actually told somebody I would talk about, so I'll probably have to do it in the next show I do today, about the nature of the church. And the churches out there today are trying to find all kinds of remedies for the problems they see coming up in the world. There is one remedy, and that is Christ. But we will talk a little bit about the physical remedies, but they won't be able to follow them without that Spirit. So until then, peace on your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.